Today is about a week before Halloween, which is also known as Samhain, the pagan New Year and the highest holy day. Paganism is earth-based and reflects the strong thread of environmentalism in our church. Jeannie will explain the nature of paganism and the personal journey that led her to find so much meaning in it. She has been an active member of the Covenant of UU Pagans for many years, and through them joined the Monte Vista UU congregation. She has also been a junior high school science teacher and an ESL teacher since 1964. It is my pleasure to welcome Jeannie Coates, who will speak about paganism, a personal journey.
Between the worlds this circle stands, a ring of light, a clasp of hands. Here incense sweet and sweet-kissed brine shall bless, empower, and make divine. Lord and Lady of the Green, Herm the Hunter, guide of fair. Elements both visible and unseen, of fire, water, earth, and air. Grace our circle, gathering near. Make our magic rite complete. Let us feel your presence here within our circle as we meet. Blessed be.
Good morning. I find it interesting that I'm standing in front of you as a congregation as a witch in a pulpit. Interesting point of view. What you just saw here was a mini version of a casting of a circle. This is done every ritual we do. Pagans don't have buildings or set places of worship. We create our sacred space where it's needed by first setting up an altar and then casting a magic circle in which we perform our rituals. After the service, you're welcome to take a look at what we have here. Understand that this is my portable altar, and I bring it in a little bag, and we set things up every once in a while. It's necessary to do this. You see standing before you a curious anachronism. In this modern world of high technology and pop culture, I am a pagan. Pagan is an ancient Roman word for country bumpkin. One who even back then wasn't with it. Who didn't worship the high Roman pantheon of Jupiter, Saturn, Vesta, Mars, Venus, and all. But instead, believed in the goddesses and gods on the land on which they lived and from which they made their living. I think in an ironic pagan footnote, pagan came to mean heathen, heretic, non-Christian. So they were tarred with their same brush. Now modern children of the goddess proudly proclaim the name pagan with a capital P, for we believe not in some great God on high, in heaven who runs things with an iron hand and who punishes sinners for their transgressions, but in a goddess and her consort who are imminent, approachable, and best of all who believe that the human race should enjoy life, that expressions of joy and pleasure are acts of worship. If it harm none, do as you will. No original sin here, born right the first time. We believe that the earth is a living, sentient being from whom we came and to whom we shall return again and again. We believe passionately in preserving the beauty and health of our mother. To us, she is Gaia, a living, conscious entity who nurtures and sustains us. We work toward a more sustainable lifestyle with all the conventional means, organic gardening, native plants, recycling, water conservation, and the like. But we also go one step further and bring the Great Mother into our religious practices as well. We celebrate her, pray to her, and give thanks to her in her many guises for all that she has given us. Our heaven is here on earth, and we try to protect her, love her, and most of all, honor her by the way that we live. The before-mentioned green activities are not impositions, but acts of worship. To us, every day is Earth Day. The Earth has not fared well under the heel of the patriarchy, and we feel that it is high time for Gaia to emerge victorious. Let's face it, mankind has been a scourge on the face of this beautiful blue planet. Now it's time that the goddess reclaims her rightful place. We also believe that thoughts are things, and that personal energy can aid or thwart positive action, that expressions of negativity will hamper or stop good things from happening. This is true in one's personal life, in community life, on the national level, and globally as well. Hence, the mess the world is in today. I urge you to read An Urgent Message from Mother by Jean Shinoda Bolen. We use ritual to focus our energy on our own, for our own good and the good of the planet. As you saw in the opening mending ritual, we call on the elemental energies of earth, air, fire, and water, and spirit as well, and as well as the god and goddess, to aid us in our work. The group mind is a powerful tool. Finding the pagan path can be a lonely and frustrating search. If this is your choice, you must seek it for yourself. We have no missionaries or preachers, except the one you see before you today, perhaps, seeking to save your immortal soul. For us, it's entirely up to you. You must join of your own free will. There is no coercion and no guilt trip. In my case, I was born a pagan, but I just didn't realize the fact. As a child, I sat in church trying to pray to God and finding that I didn't or could not believe that he existed. Therefore, I found prayers in church not only fruitless, but incredibly boring. I could not buy any of the patriarchal language and trappings of original sin, bearing earthly burdens in order to get to heaven. A father God without a mother didn't make sense. You get the idea. Instead, I would lie on my back in a field of grass, watching the clouds and listening to bird songs and humming of insects. I could feel the solid body of the earth beneath me, and I knew somewhere, somehow, that she was aware of my presence. For years, I felt out of place and out of sorts, that my lack of faith, if you will, was a serious flaw of character. I was at fault, not the patriarchal system. Even non-believers can be tainted when the patriarchal guilt trip begins to hit you. Then I discovered several books on earth-based spirituality, and I realized what and who I was. I was a pagan and a witch. This has been my path ever since, and I stand before you this morning as an ambassador of the Great Mother. Pagans, because of their closeness to Mother Earth and her cycles, look upon time as circular rather than linear. Our religious practices are tied in closely with the changing seasons, with eight sabbats or seasonal festivals which circle the wheel of the year. Many of the pagan festivals were adopted by the Catholic Church when they couldn't be stamped out. Someday I'd like a chance to talk about that. Today, because the date is so close, is a perfect time to talk about a holiday that is widely celebrated and greatly misunderstood. On October 31st, Halloween to most of you, we pagans celebrate our highest holy day, Samhain, the pagan new year. On this day, we celebrate the beginning of the dark time, when the days grow ever shorter and summer is at an end. Samhain means summer's end. The wheel begins its turning into another yearly cycle, and we follow after the goddess, who enters her time of rest during the dark times, and go deeply within ourselves for contemplation and renewal. Candles are lighted on our altars, divination is performed, a cauldron fire is extinguished at the beginning of the ritual to signify the end of the old year. This is then relighted to signify the beginning of the new. An ancestor altar is arranged where those who have passed are honored, and a transition ritual is performed for those who have passed during the year. It is strange for pagans at this time, because all of the trappings of our holiest of holies are all around us. Some people even put orange lights on their houses and decorate their yards. But most of them just don't get it. To us, this is a time when the veil between the worlds is the thinnest, when our beloved dead return to communicate with us, only to return to the other world when it is over. A poem by David O. Norris says it well. I miss you most upon each Samhain, when the boundary turns to sheer. I wait until the veil is parted at the ending of the year. Sweet spirit, as you walk among us at the tolling of the eve, I see your face beyond the sunset and hear your voice upon the breeze. In the glowing of the candle from the shadow on the wall, I watch for you in every movement and hear your footsteps in the hall. Can you sit and spend the evening as the portal opens wide? Ancestral dead, I bid you welcome. Most recent dead, I pray, abide. When you come, I sense your presence and I put my hand out in the air. A moment then we stand united, palm to palm, while standing there. I miss you most upon each Samhain, when the boundary turns to sheer. We share these hours until the dawning, then bid farewell until next year. As you can hear by the poem, our beloved dead are not to be feared, but to be welcomed. The appointments of Halloween have very different meanings for us. Jack-o'-lanterns, which are everywhere, were originally meant to guide the spirits to homes of their loved ones. Incidentally, pumpkins are a New World invention. The original jack-o'-lanterns were large turnips. The throngs of costumed children mirror those ancients who, if they had to sally forth on Samhain, disguised themselves so as not to be recognized by unfriendly spirits. Understand, your friendly spirit might not be mine. The trick-or-treat custom evolved when those who did venture forth reached their destination and were offered something to eat or drink. Everyone knew that spirits didn't eat, so if the being on the doorstep did so, he was safe to admit. The Halloween costume parties are remnants of the family celebrations held in honor of the dearly departed, where places for them were set at the feasting tables. I guess the spirits weren't expected to eat there either. All the ghoul, graveyard, ghosts, and haunted house elements have crept in over time, partially from the church, whose attempts to make Halloween so scary that no one would celebrate it, has failed. Instead, it has become almost as big a commercial deal as Christmas. I'm sure the dentists love it. This Halloween, I urge you to look at the decorations with new eyes and see behind the masks and costumes the remnants of a beautiful, solemn Samhain night. 'Twas the evening of Samhain, and all through the place were pagans preparing the ritual place. The candles were set at the corners with care, in hopes that the watchtower soon would be there. We all had our robes on, as is habitual, and had just settled down and were starting our ritual, when out on the porch there arose such a chorus that we went to the door, and awaiting before us were children in costumes of different kinds, with visions of chocolate bright in their minds. In all of our workings, we'd almost forgot, but we had purchased candy. We purchased a lot. And so as they flocked from all over the street, they all got some chocolate and something else sweet. We didn't think twice about delaying our rite. Kids just don't have this much fun every night. For hours they came with the time-honored shtick of giving a choice, a treat or a trick. It is proper. The parents were there for the games, watching the children and calling their names. On Vader, on Leia, on Dexter and Dee Dee, on Xena, on Buffy, on Casper and Tweety. To the block of apartments on the neighboring road, you'll get so much candy you'll have to be towed. The volume of children eventually dropped, and as it grew darker, it finally stopped. But as we prepared to return to our rite, one more child stepped out of the night. She couldn't have been more than 12 or 13. Her hair was deep red and her robe forest green. With a simple gold cord tying off at the waist, she'd a staff in her hand and a smile on her face. No makeup or mask or accompanying kitsch, so we asked who she was. She replied, I'm a witch. And no, I don't fly through the sky on a broom. I only use that thing for cleaning my room. My magical powers aren't all that neat, but I won't threaten tricks. I'll just ask for a treat. We found it refreshing, so we gave incense cones, a candle, a crystal, a few other stones, and the rest of the candy, which might fill a van. She turned to her father, a man dressed as Pan, and laughed, "Yes, I know, Dad, it's past time for bed," and started to leave. But she turned first and said, "I'm sorry for further delaying your rite. Blessed Samhain to all, and to all, a magical night." The light of the universe surrounds us. The love of the goddess unfolds within us. The power of the goddess flows through us. Wherever we are, the goddess is, and we are well. Blessed be.